Hello, ODAC fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the ODAC podcast. My name is JJ Nekloff. I'm the associate commissioner with the ODAC, and as always, I'm joined by the commish, Brad Bankston. Brad, how are you doing today?
The end of the fall season's here, but we've got a little bit left on the plate, hosting nationals in soccer. So we're going to follow this thing all the way to the end. Hopefully we've got some ODAC teams that are going to be visiting with us.
Yeah, no, we've got a lot of good things on the docket here and a busy weekend. We're recording this on Friday, November 21st, day after my birthday. So appreciate all the happy birthdays that came through yesterday on the 20th. But I'm looking forward to seeing if we can get some victories as some added presence for me for that, as we've got two teams hosting soccer pods in the NCAA tournaments. Washington and Lee has a super competitive, at least when you look at the rankings, women's soccer pod in Lexington with the number 2, 5, 9, and 19 teams, WNL being the number 9 team in the country. And then on the men's side, Lynchburg is hosting. Lynchburg is number 13 in the country. Emory is number 6. Emory faces Rowan. Lynchburg has Dickinson. And neither Rowan nor Dickinson are in the rankings, but they were receiving votes toward the rankings. And really, it's NPI when you want to get to this time of year and looking at where they are and what the difficulty rating is. When you get to this point, everybody's good. And we actually hear that because we had two interviews coming up. We talked with head coach Tiffany Pins at Washington and Lee and head coach Chris Yeager at the University of Lynchburg. But we're going to run through all the championships here after we get through both of our interviews. But we started off with head coach Tiffany Pins, and, you know, Brad, we've had good women's soccer ranks for a long time, you know, getting multiple teams in the NCAA tournament. I think three teams in. I want to say we've done that 6 or 7 times now. This year being one of those, with Virginia Wesleyan and Bridgewater also making the field. They ended up losing in the first round, but still, you know, put up good performances on the road in their two outings. With Bridgewater being back in the land where I grew up, playing up at Case Western. So we've known a lot of good women's soccer in the league, and I think it's no different from what we've seen the past couple of years, including this year, where we needed a 8-round PK to determine the ODAC title.
Women's soccer has been one of those sports in the league that you alluded to it. It's just had a fair amount of success nationally. You know, we've had national champion in women's soccer. We've had teams make it to the finals. And for the longest time, they were probably one of the more successful sports we've had, you know, on a national kind of profile. And, now obviously having had the conversation, you know, we recorded this with Tiffany ahead of the our portion, a lot of continued kind of quality play. I think you mentioned the championship, you know, that's a pins and needles kind of situation. And I'm glad that Virginia Wesleyan got a chance to get to the nationals anyway, you know. And when you're dealing with those games at the end of the year and you're on that kind of threshold with the NPI, you don't know what these other results are going to do for your well-being when it comes to selection. So I was happy that that Bridgewater and Virginia Wesleyan got a chance to go, and certainly ecstatic that Washington Lee's had the amount of success that they have so far. And again, playing at home, it's got to be an advantage. And Tiffany gave us a little bit of a insight on that, because I think it has to play into your hand.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So let's hear what Coach Pins had to say to us earlier today on a conversation we had with her. We're joined by Washington Lee University women's soccer head coach Tiffany Pins. Coach, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, it's our privilege to have you right now. We're lucky enough in the ODAC to have two hosting pods here in the, if you will, Sweet 16 and quarterfinal rounds coming up here, with you hosting 4 teams, including yourself, and then Lynchburg men also hosting. Why don't we start there? Is there you got to host the previous rounds as well. Is there a benefit? Is there a definite home advantage to, in the NCAA tournament, you get to stay home, sleep in your own beds, and do your own thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the idea that not only they get to sleep in their own beds, but academically, this is a big week for us here at WNL. So the fact that they got to be at home and kind of focus on those things was huge. So it's always fun to travel. It is, you know, there's some excitement behind it, but to be on your home field, there's nothing like it.
academics, what's that? Come on, everybody's there to play sports right now. I mean, the success of Washington and Lee would make you think that from time to time. And I think success is where we really get into the nitty-gritty here with you and your program is you've been there 4 years, three ODAC Coach of the Year awards. I think you and I talked maybe a little bit last year that last year's team that made a nice run that was, you know, an undefeated record going through conference play, that sort of thing. And then you get to the NCAA tournament and you win a game or two. And then this year you thought was the team that it was going to be, this is the time. But last year's team kind of bled into this as well, too. Talk about what you think maybe last year's experience helped this year's team be that much more ready, even though they have the age factor coming in this year.
Yeah, I saw as I came into this program as trying to take steps, right? Consistently being in the championship game, then let's win it. And then once we made the NCAA tournament, even my first year, like how do we win a game and really get that routine going? So to do that last year, to win not only the first game, but then to win the weekend was huge to get that experience. And then to do it again a second year has really allowed, you know, a large portion of our team to have this experience and these expectations. So there's so much that goes into winning at this time of year that's a little bit out of our control even. So the fact the things we were able to control, we could execute, was huge. But yeah, last year it was a new group that hadn't won in the NCAA tournament. So there was just some of the, and then to be honest with you, when we hosted, I think some of them didn't know if that was exciting or not. Now they've learned that's a good thing to do. So yeah, it was huge last year to get that experience. And that has really helped us this year to show up and play in this last weekend, even a harder pod than we had a year ago.
Coach, I know a lot of coaches don't want to talk about specific personnel, right? How about talk about your upperclassmen, you know, where people are, the success that you feel like they've helped build as a foundation, and now they're getting to reap some of those rewards.
Yeah, our senior class was recruited by the previous staff and was committed when I came in. And so I've got the ability to have coached them for 4 years, and they're obviously an incredibly talented class, but they really did everything they could to buy into the direction we were taking the program, which wasn't easy. They didn't sign up for me. And, you know, I would be lying if I said it was just this easy path for all of us. But the fact that they did their best to really get on board was game changing. And again, their talent is awesome, but it's been their leadership and the type of teammates they've been throughout these 4 years that has really helped us kind of set apart. You know, this year too, with the talent, you know, I'm okay with saying it, you know, we had some adversity. We had some challenges with injuries. You know, we're missing, you know, throughout the entire season, two individuals who were all conference players and big impact individuals. And so to see them just kind of step up in a different way and then other players have to fill those roles, it was a real testament to the group too this year.
You know, we take a look at the league and kind of that being also something to kind of to help prepare. You know, we've got multiple teams getting into the tournament this year for multiple years in a row. I should say three teams into the women's soccer tournament this year, the men's soccer tournament. We got three teams in for the first time ever. Talk a little bit about, you know, maybe the outside perspective coming in and what the ODAC has done to help kind of prepare your squad as well, get to this point. Into the schedule here with this pod that you've got there in Lexington this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, from day one, I've made the comment to the coaches who have been seasoned in this conference, like this conference is tough. I mean, the conference tournament, you know, 1 through 8, all are quality opponents. So just even to get through the tournament, let alone the season of, you know, playing 10 teams. With that being said, especially at the end, you know, we had tough games against Bridgewater. We had a tough game against Virginia Wesleyan. And to play in that type of environment really did help us prepare for the teams that we face the following weekend. So it's kind of that double-edged sword, right? I mean, those games are hard and that, you know, is also nerve-wracking in its own way. But without those, you know, I don't think we play the way that we do last weekend versus the opponents that we had.
Looking to this weekend, not that you want to give up any trade secrets, right?
Yeah.
What's on your plate? Who's coming to town and what's your perspective on the opponents?
Yeah. So this weekend, three incredibly talented soccer teams, very athletic, and they're all very, versatile when it comes to their attack. You know, it's not just like a kid, you know, they, it's really like the complete package. A lot of these teams too have given up minimal goals. So yes, they're scoring a lot, but they're also very stingy with their defense. So, you know, it's going to be a weekend, as we've talked about, you know, I think we'll get our chances. We will, but how many and how often, and then we're also going to have to really be like locked in with our defense, because these are teams that can take advantage of small moments, and they've shown that. And that's why they're here too, is because of the work they've put in. They've also all played really good teams, right? Like, it's not just us coming in, playing in a good conference. They're all coming from conferences and regions where they've played tough schedules. So they're ready for this weekend.
Is some of it a little bit fun? Because I look at the matchup, and you've got a Pomona-Pitzer team that I don't think has Washington Lee ever faced Pomona-Pitzer. I don't think so. Is there a little bit of fun with it? Obviously realizing, yeah, they're a number 5 team in the country. You also got the number 2 and a number 19 who's not the number 19.
Yeah.
They're the number 19. Is there a little bit of fun that goes into that of somebody new to face?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think for the group to have something a little bit different is not necessarily a bad thing, no matter what happens this weekend, to just see some different soccer and, to your point, like play a different opponent. It's interesting though, it's not my first time seeing Pomona in the NCAA tournament. Right. So I've gotten this opportunity, and they're such a seasoned team. They're so well coached. But yeah, I do think the group is excited that there's really like no crossover. It was even tough. You know, they were able to deep dive into Carnegie and do all the, like, they played them, we played them. But with Pomona, it was a little bit different.
Well, Coach, we want to say congratulations on a great year. Obviously, we have great hopes for this weekend for you and the team. And we hope that in a couple of weeks, we might get to have you kind of come an hour down the road and be in Salem for the national championship weekend. So, yes. We wish you the best, and look forward to watching the action this weekend.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You know, Brad, this program has had a lot of success, over the years, even before Coach Pins came on. But I think you heard it there, is that the players she's got have bought in to what they're selling and have really excelled for the last couple of seasons. You know, maybe stepping on the scene a little bit early last year. But now you've got an older squad this season that not only is old in age, but has some experience, has some seasoning. And as difficult as the pod is this weekend, you know, they've got a shot. And it could be really interesting to see them come down 50 miles down I-81 and join us in Salem for the national championship. Well, first the semifinals on December 4th, and then hopefully the national championship on December 6th.
Yeah. It is soccer, so you never know, right?
Yes.
That's the frustrating part, I'm sure. The coaches put a tremendous amount of work in, and, you know, one bounce or one crossbar hit, and you're not in a successful place. But I know that they're going to work really hard, and you mentioned the roster that they have. Obviously, their basketball program is very highly ranked. And having a great deal of success recently is just waiting for a few of those soccer players to make it over to the basketball team. I'm sure Tiffany's looking forward to hoping that takes a little bit longer. And the women's basketball team, I would imagine the women's basketball team's thinking the same thing. They're wishing for success for this group and wanting to see them continue. And if they don't, obviously they'll have some added firepower on the basketball team that's already quite a handful based on the preseason rankings as well as results up to this point.
Yeah, no, you allude to the Zimmerman sisters. There are three of them who play soccer, and two of them also play basketball, with Megan Zimmerman, who's a first-team midfielder, and Sarah Zimmerman, who's a two-time ODAC Player of the Year in women's soccer, and both of them are pretty darn good on the basketball floor for a women's basketball team that, at least the last time I haven't looked at the standings after the midweek results yet, looking at men's and women's basketball, not a lot of other things going on, but they were 5-0 after the weekend, number 6 in the country. A lot of that is due to a multi All-American they've got in there in Mary Sleissner. But when head coach Brittany Kemp gets her hands on these two athletes to come back over, they'll be that much stronger for what we're going to have here. And you know, strength in a lot of our sports is something that we've been able to look at and experience, certainly in your tenure, definitely in my tenure for the last 20 years, and men's soccer falls into that bill as well. We got an opportunity to talk with University of Lynchburg head coach Chris Yeager, came off or just coming off their 20th ODAC title. And I thought it was, and we talked to him a little bit about this on the call, but, you know, Lynchburg kind of has two eras, if you will, of soccer, of championship winning soccer, that before we had instituted the tournament in 1989, they had won 10 titles. They didn't win their next title until 2006. And since then, in the last 20 years, they've won 10 more titles. And really, if you look at the soccer ranks, I think it's something since like 2012, it's been Lynchburg or Washington and Lee that has lifted an ODAC trophy in men's soccer. So we've known the quality. It's been a little bit top heavy with two programs in most recent history, but you know, a Virginia Wesleyan, a Roanoke, you know, those other teams getting involved, we've seen that in the past. This year, for the first time ever, even with the quality that we've had, three teams get into the NCAA tournament. Hampton-Sydney gets into it for the first time and wins a game in its very first tournament game. So I think maybe the wheels are turning a little bit and you see some other teams coming up. A really great run from a Bridgewater team this year, you know, led by ODAC Coach of the Year, Ryan Bennison, coming through. And he's got, you know, they weren't the top scoring offense in the country, but he might have the top score, or in the conference, I should say. But he might have the top scoring duo with ODAC Offensive Player of the Year, Trey Woodrick and Riley Queen, right next to him there on that front line. So there could be some cool things here coming with men's soccer, but sticking and coming back more recent as I started to go on tangents there, is that Lynchburg is hosting a pod just like Washington and Lee. They get to stay home. They get to benefit from that. Good teams they've got to face. But again, as we talked with Coach Yeager, having that hosting opportunity is a real boost.
Oh, no doubt. And, you know, going back to what you were saying historically for Lynchburg, you know, we talked about the 50th anniversary of the league and the Hall of Fame. You know, one of the Hall of Fame members is a guy by the name of Bill Schellenberger, who really was a primary driver of collegiate soccer in the state of Virginia, just an icon. And a lot of that success, that early Lynchburg success, maybe even pre-ODAC, there was a foundation laid there for soccer that goes back many, many years. When I was looking at the numbers the other day on the men's soccer side, determining kind of on my own, looking back to see, you know, if we had had three teams qualify, you mentioned Virginia Wesleyan. I mean, there was a heck of a run between Virginia Wesleyan and Roanoke back in the day. Especially Virginia Wesleyan, the success that Virginia Wesleyan had, not only in the ODAC and winning championships, but also in the NCAA tournament with runs with head coach Sonny Travis. So let's hear what Chris Yeager had to say. And there is a little Virginia Wesleyan tie there because Coach Yeager once worked with Sonny Travis.
We're joined by University of Lynchburg men's soccer head coach Chris Yeager. Coach, how are you doing today?
Doing great.
Good to have you here, man. And I know that you're still in the Hill City because you guys hosted last weekend, got to advance, and now you get to host this weekend in a Sweet 16, if you will, and then quarterfinal, hopefully matchup for you guys. But either way, that'll be on Schellenberger Field there. Let's kind of start there. Talk a little bit about, you know, the last two weekends where you've been able to host and stay home and really to stay in your routine. What kind of benefit is that, or has that been for your squad?
Yeah, I think like you're saying, the routine's important. Playing back-to-back in the NCAA is extremely difficult. So, you know, you play Saturday, Sunday, you leave everything on the field for two straight days. And then, you know, Monday, Tuesday, you're kind of licking your wounds and seeing who can go. And so, you know, being at home, you don't have to travel to pack up and go on a Thursday. So it's nice to be able to kind of use that as recovery as well. I mean, we got some guys in boots, we got, you know, some injuries that you're trying to deal with, the sickness going around. So it's pretty normal, you know, this time of the year, but, you know, being at home helps. So you don't have to get on the bus and travel 6-8 hours somewhere. It's very, very helpful.
You know, I think what also helps is playing a pretty darn good league that gets you to, you know, set up and get ready for this. We've known the quality of the ODAC men's soccer ranks for a long time. This year, for the first time ever, three teams into the NCAA tournament. You and Tommy at Hampton Sydney getting a W in the first round. Tommy got beat in round two, but you advanced. Come on through. We also had Washington Lee, who was on the road as well. Talk a little bit about the league and how you think the league maybe kind of sets up and prepares not only your team, but teams we've had in the most recent past, with Washington Lee making a couple runs deep into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I've felt this way for 20 plus years that the league is always extremely difficult. I felt like if you can get out of, you know, a conference final, that type of thing, fairly healthy, I think that an ODAC team can do a lot of damage, which WNL has shown. So, you know, now Sydney jumping in there and getting a win right away is really cool. So, we were super close to getting four teams. So now it just becomes digging in the MPI and trying to figure out,
right,
you know, how we can get more teams in.
Coach, you don't get where you are without having a stable full of talented players. Share a little bit about your upperclassmen and what they mean to your program.
Yeah, I mean, the seniors always drive this program here. they've been in our culture for a while. They set the tone for everything. They set the rules. They do everything from there, the lifting, the being on time, all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it starts with Tommy and goal, you know, and works its way up through Benji, Keaton. You know, it's right down the spine, basically. And then even some guys that, you know, that don't play much, they have a huge voice. I mean, you know, Capsidis, when he came in as a transfer, he's got a great voice on the bench and, you know, basically drives our culture from there. And it's just been fantastic. I mean, you know, I'm super happy for those guys. I mean, Reed Rouse leads in the classroom like there's no other. You know, he's Scholar Athlete of the Year, and that stuff we're super proud of. And, you know, there's more to it than just soccer. These guys are great, great human beings. I'm excited to see them move on and do some fun things, but hopefully it's not for, you know, a couple weeks.
Coach, also do some reflection for me. I mean, you were a part of a really successful program in Virginia Wesleyan coming here. What's the formula? Do you have a formula? In all those years when you were kind of soaking it in and now applying it, I mean, this is certainly a great year for you guys and the opportunity to return to the final championship series since 2010.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's all about learning. You got to continually learn in every program you're in or around. You know, back when Sonny was the head coach, you know, you just kind of soak it all in and be involved with them. And, you know, from there it was club coaching as well, you know, getting involved with Beach FC and Chesapeake and all those Norfolk, all those, some of the programs aren't even around anymore. It's important to do that and learn and take bits and pieces, the good and the bad. And then obviously when I moved out to Ohio, you start your own thing and you try to figure it out. You know, figure out what works and what doesn't work. And I truly have believed it from the very beginning that it starts with the kids. You try to find the right ones that will buy in. Sometimes it takes a little longer than others, but, you know, if you can get that buy-in by, you know, second semester, sophomore year, I think you can do a lot of great things. And, you know, you guys talked about 2010. That was just a fun group. A lot of people say, was it your best team? And I'm not sure it was, but they are an absolutely great group of individuals, all very different. We had some wild ones. We had some good church going individuals, whatever you want to say, but they're the wild ones helped drive it as well too. So I think the success just comes from, you know, having a good athletic department that we learn from every single day. There's a lot of good, older and younger coaches here that we thrive on each other. We have fun when other teams win and we want their success. So I think that's really important. So just, again, I think it's, you're just trying to learn every single time you go out. And I think that's the important part is just, you know, with the society changing and everything else and COVID and, you know, NIL and all that. It's just, you better learn from all of that or you may die from it. So it's tough.
Yeah. I think it's pretty clear the culture that you've developed there, or maybe even want to call it redevelop, because we take a look at things, this squad that you've got now just won the 20th championship, ODAC championship in program history. That's 10 before we instituted the tournament in 1989. And then the next 10 since, I think you won your first title in 2006, which would have been my first year 20 years ago. I don't know if there's anything crazy to reflect on it there, but there's, you know, the fact that you've gone and doubled up from what we've done or what the program did, you know, before we even had a tournament in the ODAC, to you just winning your 10th title, and now you've got 10 more wins than the next closest team in the ODAC. I mean, just talk a little bit about just how you've been able, or reflect on building this culture at Lynchburg specifically to be as good as you guys have been over the last, you know, 20 years.
I think it's, like I said, I mean, it becomes just, you learn in college, it's a learning environment, right? They're 18 to 22 years old for the most part, you know, traditionally. I think that it's just trying to develop them as individuals for each, whatever that means, whether that means that, you know, they're trying to, you know, become a teacher or, you know, be an engineer, whatever you want to call it. You know, it's just, I think you're trying to develop them wholly. And soccer has a way of doing that. I mean, it's a crazy sport that we coach. It's not always fair. You know, but I think it's one of those things that, I said a lot about this athletic department. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, we're driven by John, and, you know, he has the best interest in the kids, which I think is the most important part. It should be always that way. And I think it's one of those things that the student athlete needs to be developed all the way throughout. And I want them to be sad when it's over, you know, because they want to continue on with it. And I think that's a sign of doing the right things, is that, you know, guys are sad when it's over and want to continue on. Maybe the NCAA will institute the 5-year, 6-year thing, you know, so we'll see.
I hear you. Well, we all hope this translates into this weekend. So as we wrap up here with you, kind of talk a little bit about the pod you got coming against you, specifically the game that you have on Saturdays. You've got Dickinson. They've scored 7 goals without allowing one yet in the tournament. You've scored 6 and allowing one to a good CNU squad. What type of game can we expect between you and Dickinson, and what does the pod look like in general?
Yeah, the pod's tough. I mean, I think that you know, the NCAA is still trying to figure that out as well with the MPI. You know, did they get it right? I don't know. But I think when you get to this point anyway, everybody's good.
Yeah.
You know, they've, you know, in the last pod, we had 4 conference champions, you know, so somebody did something right with each of those teams. And I think it's just hard. It's hard to get out of each pod. You know, Emory Rowan, that's going to be a battle as well too. But from this point, it's just, I mean, between us and Dickinson, we saw him last year. You know, it was a crazy game. There's going to be a lot of set pieces. There's going to be a lot of things that can dictate the way this goes. And we're just keeping our fingers crossed all the way throughout.
Well, Chris, we wish you the best of luck, you and the team, and certainly congratulations on your success this year and what you've been able to build there. You know, you know this, but, you know, we'd love to have you in a couple of weeks, about an hour down the road, and with the ODAC and Roanoke and Salem hosting the national championship. So we don't want to put the cart before the horse. We know you have business this weekend, but just remember that that trip won't be that long for you if you're able to kind of make it through what you got ahead of you this weekend.
That's the plan. That's what we hope for.
Good luck, Coach. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Well, JJ, it's great to have the opportunity to visit with 2 of the ODAC's top coaches, obviously, in the sport of soccer, and to hear their preparation and thought process, not only for this weekend, but the maturation of their student athletes and their intent of their program to help develop them as humans. I think in the end, we can agree that's really why we're all here, certainly from a higher education standpoint, and sport does an amazing job of that. But we've still got some more NCAA play coming up. You know, we've got volleyball going on. We had three teams make the volleyball championship tournament. The University of Lynchburg, who made the tournament for the first time, and also Washington and Lee, who won the championship as the four seed. And then, you know, not to be forgotten, Virginia Wesleyan, who actually served as the host for this weekend's tournament. So unfortunately, Washington and Lee dropped their competition against Barry. Virginia Wesleyan won their first rounder, and Lynchburg lost in five. So we still got somebody alive on in the volleyball ranks with Virginia Wesleyan continuing to play at home this weekend. We certainly wish them the best of luck as they prepare for that. And we've also got football on the slate. We've got Randolph-Macon, who wrapped up the ODAC football championship actually prior to last weekend, but did it with authority in a victory over Hampton-Sydney at home, which we were able to be there and present the trophy, which is a great experience. That's always a wonderful atmosphere to be a part of. It was a beautiful day for football. And then we've got the Chesapeake Challenge with two of our teams, Washington Lee on the road, traveling to Lycoming, and Shenandoah, who was our second seeded team, hosting Wilkes. So a lot left on the plate, still a little bit, a few hurdles left in the fall season. While we are also introducing, from my understanding, indoor track. But before we do that, we have finals for cross country. So I'll turn it over to you to kind of summarize where we are with that. I mean, it's a mind-boggling time of the year.
Yeah, we've got lots of things still going on. As you mentioned, the tournament's still hanging through cross country this weekend. We're down in Spartanburg, South Carolina, at the event hosted by, I think it's Converse University and the local sports organization in that area. Really, Milliken, it's the Milliken Center is what it's, Roger Milliken Center is what it's called. And they've had a couple of races this past year to kind of get ready for that, to test, if you will, and see what they need to do. So looking forward to seeing what our people can do there. Both Washington and Lee teams are involved as selections. And then the Lynchburg men's squad is also involved. That's it for us this year. Last year, I think the last couple of years, we've had a couple of individuals that placed high enough in there. And those of you that see the releases and whatnot going through, that cross country kind of works in a way that you have 10 regionals out there. The top team in each region goes automatically. And then the committee selects the remaining 22 squads per gender, and there's no, say, prescribed format for that. You can get two out of a region, you can get four or five out of a region, but then from an individual perspective, you take the next, I believe it's seven individuals from each region that are not on one of those teams that are selected. So that's what we didn't have this year, is we didn't get to that point with it. So it's looking forward to seeing, though. We'll have as many as 30 runners out there. Each team that gets in there, you can have 10 runners, and you have three alternates to kind of come through because you have a squad of seven that'll go out there, run with five scoring. So there's as many as 30 athletes out there from Washington, Lee, and Lynchburg that'll be carrying the ODAC banner. So we're looking forward to seeing that.
And we talked a little bit about this last week, but it was awesome that Green Hill Park got a chance to host the regional, and a lot of compliments based on what I had heard from some of the people that were working with hosting it, just super complimentary of the course itself and the opportunity for those teams to be able to compete. I mean, that's a massive endeavor. I can't imagine hosting the National Cross Country Championship. It's bad enough to host it for hours, and we're talking about the lower teens in numbers of teams and, you know, the number of individuals at like 100, if we're lucky, maybe 120 competing for one gender. It's a lot of moving parts. So certainly want to say congratulations to Roanoke County and the city of Salem and everybody that kind of put their heads together. Roanoke College had a huge part in that. And it's nice to kind of get our geographic footprint in the thought of cross country, which in the past has really kind of not been, it hasn't been relevant. You know, I think it has for us from a competitive standpoint. We've had people that have been good, but we haven't really done that from a hosting perspective. So that's a new one for us, and so happy to see that happen.
Yeah, no, I think I agree. And just from the time that we've had, I mean, Roanoke County has really bought into that course. So it's been great to have their support. Derek Workman has done a great job at Roanoke facilitating that from a host school perspective. So it's turned into a great thing. All our people have really done a nice job. I mean, I thought Bridgewater was great this year coming through, and we know what Andy has done at Shenandoah before up at the Kernstown Battlefield, and they've got it next season.
It's going to be great.
For ODAX, and we love that. I mean, that might be my favorite opening to any event is when the cannon goes off at the battlefield. Love that.
Didn't get any better than that, and you have to run through the smoke.
Exactly. There you go. Would be remiss if we also didn't talk about, we had field hockey finish up this past weekend as well. Lynchburg taking the number one team in the country in CNU to the brink, going to overtime with them before losing 2-1 in extra time in that contest. But Jenny Relliford and the Hornet squad really doing a nice job this season and going ahead and making a run in the tournament there to not only, you know, win that first round game in the midweek coming off our tournament, but then, you know, go to a place like CNU that we know is already going to be difficult. And then they're the number one team in the country and you happen to draw them as the next game. So good job by them. And at the same time, we have winter sports that, you know, are not necessarily super early in what we've got going on. Our swimming's been going for several weeks now. And, you know, I've got to point out that we've got some really, really good things going on in swimming. I mean, Bridgewater Zachary Erb set eclipsed two NCAA B cuts this past weekend. And it was Hallie Shart from Roanoke who set one, I believe, in one of the backstroke events. So, you know, if you will, from a historical perspective, and this isn't a knock on anything, but some non-WNL people doing some things like that, because we've long been dominated by the quality and the depth of Washington Elite's program. And let's not be mistaken, that's continuing. Dalton Job and on leading the guys squad is really doing some nice things over there. Maria Jellig and the women's squad continue to show their quality. I mean, those are two of the multi swimmers of the week that we've had so far in the league. ODAX swimming is continuing to improve. The depth is improving. You know, the quality of Washington Lee is known, but when Lynchburg and Roanoke came in right away, their quality was really good to begin with. And I think you're finding that cycle. You get in, you come down a little bit, now you come back up. So maybe those programs are kind of working toward that. But Bridgewater and where they've grown really on both sides of the program, but the highlight is on the men's side. You know, with Zachary Erb being a NCAA qualifier last year and performing well in those events. So pretty cool with what we've seen there so far. I think wrestling is still waiting to kick off a little bit. You've had some of those so early season events. A couple of them are high profile, and we have had some high profile victories. But I think it'll be into the second semester when we really start to see the quality of this league and the national rankings that they've got with Roanoke and Washington Lee's programs being inside of there. You know, we miss out this season on somebody like Josh Wilson that we've had in the past, who was a multi, you know, athlete of the meet for the ODAC championships and a previous national champion. But then we still have one back in Mark Samuel, what he did at the same weight class last year, winning a national title. So it's pretty cool what we've seen in that. And I expect to see some more really good results when we get into that second semester. And then our men's and women's basketball continues to be good. We have nationally ranked programs. We have good results coming through here so far. Maybe some up-and-coming teams, maybe some teams that are look at least from early season results, kind of bringing it up a little bit. I look at the nationally ranked wins on the women's side that Shenandoah had this past week. They beat a Catholic squad. Bridgewater did not beat Catholic, who was a nationally ranked team at number 19, but they went and beat the number 20 team in CNU. So that's a team that's got past, you know, national championships under its belt, or at least a runner-up scenario. I can't remember if CNU actually won the title in the last few years or not. But looking forward to seeing the continued growth or rebirth, if you will, of women's basketball. And if WNL can continue on and maybe even grow upon that number six ranking they've got, Randolph-Macon continue to be ranked. And on the men's side, we've had, what, four teams ranked? I think is where we started at this year. With
four teams ranked, sure.
Yeah, Randolph-Macon, Roanoke, Virginia Wesleyan, and Hampton-Sydney all right in there. So looking forward to seeing how that shakes out too, Brad.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned a little bit about swimming and wrestling. A lot of conversation going on. The depth of swimming has prompted dialogue with the coaches about, you know, what does our championship look like in the future? You know, do we have a deeper finals field? You know, it's to see the growth of swimming, you know, men and women. You know, obviously we were women for years, we added men, and that has just grown exponentially. And I think that's helped our swimming overall, is to have the co-ed kind of environment of that. And then you talk about wrestling, which we're really kind of just getting started at, an opportunity to talk with Nate Yetzer yesterday on the phone. He serves as the chair of the wrestling coaches. And, you know, we're talking about how we're revamping our championship in another year to have our, you know, the individual championship actually serve as the ODAC championship. And what does that look like, and how do we schedule, and how do we duel, and kind of keep the energy that we have with wrestling that's been there over the last couple of years, as you mentioned. How do we bottle that and be able to continue to improve that product moving forward? We're going to have that with the University of Lynchburg adding wrestling. That's going to be a different element for us next year. I think it's awesome that we're seeing growth in those sports, and super happy that we're seeing depth in the competitive level of all programs in the league. And again, as you mentioned, you know, basketball kind of speaks for itself. We've had a lot of success in basketball over the years. Hopefully that will continue. I believe it will, based on the results that we've seen so far. And everybody stay healthy. And we have a heck of a run here before we get to the championship at the end of February.
Yeah, no, I think things are going to be outstanding. The year so far has been great. Yeah, I expect to continue to be great. Sooner rather than later, as I think you alluded to, we'll be into that indoor track and field. Quick 1-2 week of 1-2 weeks of meets that we have here before the Christmas holiday break, if you will, New Year's holiday break, and then in earnest kicks back up once we get to that second semester. And sooner rather than later, we'll have men's volleyball going on for the second year of the ODAC in that sport, with an added program with Bridgewater coming into it and Shenandoah coming into it this year. So really could be added excitement for that. And then the spring sport sprint, you know, we get that crossover season we've alluded to a couple times around the basketball tournament. So really looking forward to seeing what we've got, but a lot of things here up for people this weekend. Pay attention to the schedules. It'll be online at the schools and on the conference website going through. You still have some volleyball. We've got a couple football games on Saturday. You've got two soccer pods going on in the area, and really looking forward to seeing what our people can do here in the NCAA tournament, not to mention with the winter sports still going on. For Brad Bankston, my name is JJ Neckloff. Be with you next time on the ODAC Podcast.